Welcome to Acts, a gathering of believers in the Father's Vineyard, where we grow in love, knowledge, and insight of the Almighty God. Join us for soul-edifying worship, heartfelt conversations, and enriching Bible studies. Let's walk together on this journey of faith and fellowship.
You asked the question, like, if we know what season we're in. Did I don't know if your pastor mentioned ways to discern. Because the Bible talks about, like, you know, specific guys like the sons of Issachar that could tell, like, the season and everything they were in. But when I think of people like Joseph, when they were like, not the him, for example, like when he was being sold as a slave, you know, then he was in prison. I don't know if he knew what, like, how do I put it? I don't know if he knew what season he was in that regard, like, or did he know? Because now I have those questions, like, did he know? Was that why he was behaving the way he was behaving? Or because we have always looked at Joseph's life was one of the things I had said this Sunday also was that Joseph needed to go through all that so that he can be trained, because the Joseph that was in his father's house was very naive. He was, I think, arrogant, a bit prideful, and that whole process pruned him to be the person that can stand before Pharaoh, right, and speak eloquently and, you know, all of that. Because now there was, I think, in fact, I even think he grew spiritually, because now he could properly, like, well, we could interpret dreams then, sure. But yeah, but like, what was my question now? I don't know if Joseph was, if he knew the season he was in. Like, I know that, okay, personally for me, I'm able to discern sometimes that this is the season that I'm in through certain words I just hear, maybe through dreams, or like, I just feel a stirring that, okay, in this time, this is what God will have me focus on. But when I think about other people, there was no clear word that they received particularly that just told them that. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like, is there a way?
Yeah.
Like, it makes things a lot easier if you just know that this is a season for you to
either
work hard or not.
I think I can shed some light on that.
Okay, go ahead.
So as at the time Joseph was with his brothers, he didn't know so much about times and seasons. But from his journey from the slave trade into Potiphar's house and into the prison, he knew so much more. And you've already answered your question in one way, being that it was a journey. When God calls people, even in their raw state, he will tell them the full vision. When I say raw state, I mean when they are not even capable of doing anything. He will tell them the full vision. But as we all know, he won't tell you the in-betweens. And you know, when the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight, it's easy to just be like, yeah, walk by faith and not by sight. But why he made that comparison of sight is because you have to actually be seeing something. So the Bible is actually telling you that when it comes to faith, you will see something, but it's not what your physical eyes can see. You are seeing something which has been presented to you by the Spirit, And like you mentioned, it could be the spirit of prophecy. Then it could be plainly the spirit of God. If it's came directly to you, if it's prophecy, that means it came through a word of knowledge. Now I'll pick out examples and I'll start with Moses. Moses, by divination, faulty divination, he actually knew that he was meant to be the deliverer of Israel. Because he actually said, don't you recognize who I am? And this was even before he had the encounter, the burning bush. So he knew by dubious, when I call it dubious, I'm just saying, not using the spirit of God, using probably Egyptian gods, because he was definitely exposed to them. You can't be a prince of Egypt and you won't touch their juju. So, but it was at the burning bush that he had that encounter, and he knew that he was, and this was God's own of now telling him, you are going to deliver my people. But up until how many years before he brought him into the season of the deliverance? Now back to the example you picked. When Joseph had that first dream, he told it to his father, and it was his father and brothers that were now like, do you mean we will be bowing to you? So he probably even told them with a partial understanding of the meaning and all, but he was just like, it's his father that was like, even me, I will bow to you. Because Jacob could understand dreams that much. Those other brothers just picked up jealousy and all. But I can tell you one thing, that Joseph still had other dreams. But probably what he had learned is not to talk. By the time he entered the pits and he had all those experiences and all, but from being sold as a slave to being a prisoner in this thing, he had more encounters. And those encounters are the ones that made him embrace who he was and who God was and where he was taking him to. And that's why he found patience in his journey. One thing I've known about God taking you through seasons is that you will learn patience. Seasons is not like the seasons of the sight of the eye, where now after autumn, shouldn't it be winter? And after winter, Lord, it's harvest time now, it's spring. No, seasons with God don't follow the earthly cycle. Seasons, you can have winter for 85 weeks, spring for 2 weeks, maybe so that you can just quickly gather what to eat, then go back to winter. But according to God, that's why seasons are different for different people. Different for some people can have 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Others can have 3 years of plenty, 1 year of famine. Move to, so that's why you don't judge based, even if you feel it's the same kind of journey, your seasons are very different. I think there was a message that Apostle preached on how to know when you're in a new season is coming, and he mentioned some points. The only one I can remember now is, I think, sacrificial giving. You just have the urge to give, or the urge for prayer. So the only two I can remember right now. But just speaking out of the story of Moses and Joseph, and actually even from my own life, I will tell you this. At the beginning, when you are even a novice, God will tell you what he has seen for the future for you. Pick it up. We can also pick it from the story of Gideon. He will tell you what he has seen for you. He can give you time to align. And God is so loving and merciful and so patient that you can fall, you can falter. It's you that will keep elongating the seasons in your own way, because God will not be like, he passed, but let him take the test again. No. If you really pass God's test, you won't take it again. So if you feel and you have a knowing that the season is extended, it's because you are not passing something you should pass. And I think Precious has touched a bit on this. If a season, because every season is to bring out something. God said he has not called Jacob to seek him in vain. So don't feel that if you are going through something or you feel a season is too long, it's because God is not, it's you. It's you. He's just being patient with you. Because at the beginning, he gave you his whole heart. He gave you like whole heart, like it's all I want to do for you. So God is very excited for you to fulfill this plan he has. So why would he now? It's just like a man proposing to a woman, be like, we're going to marry, we're going to have this big, wonderful thing. You can even see the bank account is full and all. So it's not like he was trying to woo you with words. He had everything. As Precious said, it has already been fulfilled in heaven. So it's just for you to align. And another thing I noticed is when God is selling, permit me to use the word selling, this new seasons or plans to us, he always, you know, I always just felt it was just like a godly, when I say godly, maybe that's the way God talks, but I've learned that every word holds power, because we don't see, we're not in that day, but every word in the Bible holds power. So when he's talking to his children and he says, behold, I do a new thing, or he tells you, see, I have given you the land of Jericho, that behold, that see, he's asking you to visualize something, and that vision you're having, that is what should power your faith, so that you don't walk by sight. So that vision that he had given each day, there's a vision per season. There's a vision to carry the whole holidays to say this thing. There's vision and there are mission statements. So there's the broad vision. Then he now gives you, still gives you per season, so that your faith is really anchored on a vision. And that's why in Habakkuk he said, you have to write it down. So that you yourself, you would know what's going on. So seasons, they appear to you in, and you will not even understand the whole picture when you get it the first time. But by the time you, and you also have to be very honest with yourself. And I think that's one thing Moses and Joseph did, and even Gideon did. They were honest with themselves, be like, okay, true. Based on what God told me, I will be. If you carry me like this now, and now I'm still struggling with arrogance. If you carry me like this now, and now I'm still struggling with and probably something people struggle with, or you still have that besetting sin in you. So it takes also it takes you to a place of self-truth, basically. Self-judgment. You have to judge yourself and be like, what could God be demanding that I learn in this season? And that's how you also break forth out of seasons, because each season is for you to build capacity. We can actually, in quotes, shorten our seasons. Okay, let me not say shorten, but we can actually do it well, that we are in line with the way God wants it to be, in that we quickly realize, okay, why am I in this whole this thing? I've not learned mercy. I'm still struggling in love. Okay, what do I need to do? I need to separate myself from these things. I need to pray more. And that's how you go through seasons according to the time. You see, I like the example that Precious gave. Let me look at time. Okay. I like the example that Precious gave when he mentioned David. You know, when Prophet Nathan came back to tell David of his sin, he gave the parable as a traveler came to your house. And instead of you to offer him sheep from your own side, you went to look for another person's own sheep. I will pick the word a traveler. Prophet Nathan, inspired by the Spirit of God, described that season or that spirit of lust in that season as a traveler. These things, they will come to abruptly truncate, I hope I'm not using too much English, your seasons. They are not coming there to stay. They just want to disrupt something that is going on in your life. That's what they come to do. So you have to be very weary of this. And they come as things that they know that you have issue with. They know that is what God is even trying to take out of your life. So when you also see those things that, and you, like I said, you have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest. Why is this thing happening? Why am I always getting angry? You have to tell yourself the truth. Because you know one thing about travelers, if you don't tell them, don't come back again. They will come again. They will come again. So it's for you to open, and I'm sure Joseph also had his own issues and all, but those are the things that God took him through season per season. And I can tell you now, if Joseph were to write a book, in fact, of course, he has his own chapter in Genesis, but if you look at it, and he'll tell you what he learned per season. He will tell you what he learned from his father. He will tell you what he learned from his brothers. He will tell you what he learned in prison. He will tell you what he learned from Potiphar's wife. He will also tell you what he learned from Pharaoh. He will tell you what he learned from the prisoner in charge. And he can tell you. And at the end of the day, when he's dispensing all this wisdom in the kingdom of Pharaoh, he can tell where he builds the capacity for all those things. So that's consciousness of season. God will not leave you in oblivion when he's taking you through a journey. He's as loving as even telling you the destination. And that's what will keep you going. So every believer who really follows God in spirit and in truth will not be oblivious of the fact that life itself is a journey. I always say this, that life is a journey between from you to God. Everything in between is to either distract you or bring you closer to him. But it's a journey between you and God. So it's still a step. Every step is you coming closer to him. And God in his mercy does it by times and seasons. So we would know. As long as, if If you as a traveler didn't know that you were going to God, that's when maybe you will not be understanding that these are times and seasons. But we as Christians, that we know that we're traveling towards God, we know, we understand when there's a season or what's going on in our seasons. So we would know. Praise God.
Hallelujah. That was a traveler. Apostle in Kemdio. That's all I can say. See, was that helpful at all?
Yes, it was. Thank you so much, Kemdio. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Oh, by the way, there was during Wolfpack, there was this analogy Pastor even mentioned around Joseph that that God was not even the person God could potentially the person that God really, really liked was actually Joseph's brother. It's not Joseph. I don't know if you guys saw that that word.
I did.
I was like, child, it's more Joseph than we're using as role model. It's still prayer point to just say like this. Please do that.
Well, like the way I see it and understand it is this. We all carry the Spirit of God and express different fruits in different levels. And God knows the people who fit perfectly per purpose. So the more you go through, the more you're aligned with His Spirit. So would you now say, because what Jesus went through, was it not far worse than what would you now say, God didn't like Jesus more than like you get?
I get, it was just completely different. Like, we always, like, at least for me, right, to that analogy, I always felt like, I didn't see the connection in terms of, I know Jesus was not from, or Christ wasn't from the lineage of Joseph, right? But I didn't really picture it in that scenario till he really just brought it out properly. I was like, I think Joseph was like, you do me strong. Anyway, let's leave that. it's been a really, really good session. So do we have any other topic? Is there a question on our hearts? Right, yeah. Question hearts. Like, the next thing that actually popped on my head is maybe it could help somebody would be, if you now recognize that you've lost a season. Right, let me just add this last one. If you recognize that you've lost a season, or and sometimes you get this, like, if I was in that season again, maybe 3 years ago, I would have made better decisions. I would have made better plans. And If I knew those questions, I don't know if anyone have ever had those kind of questions. Is there a way to recover? Like, is there a way to recover those things? Yeah,
we're not the first people asking. Even the people, the children of Israel, they asked, and that's why God said He can restore. That He'll restore the ears. And like I said, God is so merciful and so patient. You can delay, press pause, fast forward. You think you're moving forward, but you know, sometimes we think maybe when we get money, then we can quickly enter one season and all. And God is like, okay, if you think it's money, fine. And get the money, you get to that season, but you see the next season you wanted to enter, the door is not opening because your money can't open it because of something else you were meant to get from the past season you weren't able to get, which was not money. So God can be patient enough to be like, okay, see your own mistake. See that's the key I needed you to get from the past season to open the next season door. It was not just about what you thought it was. And you now be like, you of course you repent. Repentance is the way. Broken spirit, contrite heart, God will not despise. Any day, anytime. He won't despise it. Once you recognize and seeing that you have missed it and you go back to your Father, my God, He will not despise. You know, one time I read the prodigal son story again, and I was like, now I see it. The father said he was dead, but he's now alive. Maybe because I've just gone through the whole dead-ish things. And I'm like, do you know what it means to have somebody pronounced dead? And the next thing, you now have the person alive again. That's the way he sees, that's the kind of joy it gives him when he sees that you were dead in your own senses and thinking you knew what you were doing, but light came and you came back to him. He's so happy that he wouldn't mind walking through you through everything again. That's why when he tells you that he can restore, he can. He wants to, because he wants to see you complete. So the thing to do is broken spirit, contrite heart. Abi, shall carry your heart true to him.
Yeah.
And that's he will restore. He said, none say yet restore. Because he knows that you have lost things. He knows. He's just waiting for you to know and cry out, Lord, restore.
Okay, thank you so much. Jay, your hand is up. Do you know? Yeah.
I wanted to add something. Yeah, so much belief in restoration. You know, the Bible says that, you know, I will restore the years that do not cost and that can come. So that talks about how much restoration can come. Another thing I wanted to highlight is that sometimes when we miss this season, there would be consequences. And when I think about David, you know, the consequence was that he lost that son, right? And even when I think about even the prodigal son, right? I mean, maybe the consequence was that he lost everything and he was not eating with pigs, right? Although we might, yes, the idea is missing a season might come with pain. But again, just bringing us back, like Candida said, there's mercy, right? There's mercy, and the Bible says, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy, you know. There is mercy that, and there is also speed. One of the things I've been learning is that we have, there are so many advantages that God has given us. So there can be so much speed that all that was lost, right, you recover in fact, just when we think about maybe somebody like Job, for example. Of course, Job did not miss a season, but we saw how fast he recovered, even much more than he has lost, right? And so there are systems of recovery, but yes, I believe that there are consequences sometimes, most times, for missing these seasons.
Jay, you're 100% right. In fact, there was something, it's just some ruminations that was going through my spirit this very day. And God actually told me to speak to someone about some things that they were doing and all. And I just emphasized on the messy part first. But I knew the next speaking would be on the person's own wrongdoings. And I just said, I think when it comes to consequences, God just helped me to, because initially, most times Christians, when you want to correct someone, you're like, do you know what you're doing? Will cost you this and all. But some, at a point in time, God helped me reverse the order of relating the message. More like you tell them that, oh yeah, there's hope. But the consequences, none can take away. Jesus forgives sins. He doesn't take away consequences. Nope. We all face the consequences on earth. So there's actually a loss. There will always be that loss of consequences. Or you will face something, or you have to now tell stories that will touch maybe to generations to come. And you know, there was something that God said to David that made me know that, indeed, this is the consequence. You see the way we talk, oh, lovely King David, lovely. But he did Bathsheba. God said, this is your sin. Oh, when he was saying what Absalom would do to him, he said he would do it in all the eyes of Israel and in the eyes of the son.
Yeah.
Of the son. S-U-N. And that's why when the Bible uses son, it's trying to say like all history will always know of it. It's never going to be blotted out per se in the history. When your story is told, it will always be told. When they say nothing is hidden from the sun, nothing is new under the sun, essentially saying when God says this thing you've done or this thing that has happened is to be under the sun, it's more like till thy kingdom come, men will always know of it. Men will always speak of it. So I read that and I said, God, have mercy. Have mercy. But consequences, indeed, they will always come. They will always come. You can't, when you do something bad, you face consequences on earth, and it might affect a bit of things in your reward in heaven. But yeah, they will always be there. They will be there. But at least you make heaven. that's the good part to say. You make heaven. But then you see a consequences.
This thing is to cry mercy sometimes. So cry mercy, like, so anyway, that's my own personal thought around that. Sometimes you I know someone asked a question one time and was like, do Christians need to pray? I'm not asking that as a question. I think we have 5 minutes left. I'm seeing it's a prayer. But someone was asking, like, he doesn't think Christians should pray for mercy anymore, that we're forgiven. I don't know if any of us have that train of thought, but for me, yeah, if you call, for me, if grant mercy, because if you look at, I don't know, but I just say that, yeah, there's a point where you need to cry mercy, because it's only mercy, in my own opinion, that can, and God's mercy is he will have mercy on, will have mercy on, that's his own thing. He would could have mercy on Saul and deal with David, and he have mercy on David and deal with someone else. It's just his own, the way he does these things, right? But when you look back, at least the prayer of mercy cannot be taken. I don't think it can be taken from a Christian, not just for forgiveness of sin, but he should help move some things around. Because if you understand that even a lie has consequence, even a lie has consequence, then you understand mercy is much more powerful than we even consider. Anyway, that's a side note that just came to my head as you guys were talking around consequences and all that stuff. So I think we have come to the end of today. It's very, very, thank you so much. Very, very insightful and a very, very loving conversation at all times. So, but I want us to spend the next couple of minutes just, first of all, thanking God for his mercy. Thank you, God, for his mercy.
Thank you for joining us on X. We pray these moments have drawn you closer to the Father's heart. Stay connected, stay inspired, and let his love guide you always. Until next time.